Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Ruby Airclamp, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you.
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Good morning, Ellen. I was working till like 4 o'clock in the morning. Good morning, sweetheart. I have to get all dressed up for Jonas, you know? He's a good guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mr. Perfect. And he's a good looking, you know, he's a good looking guy. He writes great books. I hear that Sarah Roberts is one of his best, and I hear nothing but great reviews, and he doesn't typo when he's on Facebook. He's like Mr. Perfect, you know. He's good looking, writes, great author, sells books, great publishing thing. And I see you guys play kissy, you know, you guys are playing kissy face on Facebook. You behave yourself in this interview. You behave yourself. You know, it's funny.
I do behave myself.
You flirt with Jonas. You leave him alone. You behave yourself during this interview. You know, he's a good-looking guy, Ellen. You know that?
Yes, he is a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm. Bestseller. Author. Probably a great family man. Mr. Perfect. I have a bone to pick with Jonas. You know the bone I have to pick with Jonas, and I tell you this almost every day. I have Jonas as my friend on Facebook,
video.
And I love it, right? You know what I mean. And it's about you. And I watch my Facebook, and I see my post, and, you know, and I see when you post. Every time you post, what do I always say, Ellen? What do I say about you and Jonas? What do I say?
What? Every time you post, he gives you crickets, and every time I post, he gives me a heart?
Yes. I mean, I see you post little things, and then Jonas is giving you smiles and things and really happy. And if you could post a recipe, and Jonas is giving you a standing ovation, and if you feel a little sick, Jonas will give a tear for you. I said to you, well, I was proud of Jonas. You know, I read his thing, and I posted something really great about Jonas. I waited 3 days, and he gives me a thumbs up. 3 days. With you, it smiles and kissy face. And I go, okay, really? Really, Jonas? And it's like, in my head, I think he gave me a cookie one time. Like, what do you want, hammer, a cookie? I think he gave me a cookie meme one time. I know he's a great, you know, he can't be that good. You know, I don't know if chicks like that, you know. I don't know if chicks like a guy who's good looking, who can write, successful, honorable, loves everything, Mr. Perfect. I don't think chicks go for that. I think they go for guys like me. Like, I'm a puzzle, but I have a couple of pieces missing. I think they like that better. You know what I mean? They like that puzzle with a couple of pieces missing. Well, Jonas is here. He's a great guy. And, of course, he's on time because he's Mr. Perfect. And I'm going to be watching you, Ellen. You know, you flirt with your giggle, and I know you're giggle flirting. So I'm going to be watching you. I am honored. Oh, you already started, Ellen. I'm going to be watching you. I'm honored to have Jonas Salk to the studio. He is one of the best writers around. He's one of the best authors. Nothing but great stuff come out of Jonas. We're going to talk about Sarah Roberts. And he wants to talk about book chats. And he wants to talk. I think he wants to give something back. I think he wants to talk about. He wants to have a book chat. He wants to talk about the writing process, promotion for other writers, and overall book chat. He always wants to help people. You know that, Ellen? Chicks don't like that. Chicks don't like that.
You don't think?
Yeah.
You don't think like a guy that helps?
No. Chicks like guys like me who is a narcissist, you know, because it's all about me. Jonas likes to help people. What is that? What is that? Well, we're going to find out. He cannot be perfect. I'm going to give him a personality test. He doesn't know it. I'm going to expose Jonas. No,
he
doesn't know it. I'm going to expose Jonas today. There's a dark side of Jonas, and I'm going to find it, Ellen. I'm going to find it.
Okay.
Behave yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, the man of the hour, one of the best-selling authors. He writes magnificent work. Mr. Perfect, who doesn't really give a damn about what I say on Facebook. He may give me a thumbs up 3 days later. And it's not really a good thumbs up, Ellen. It's one of those maybe thumbs. You know what I mean? Like it's half broken.
God.
You know? We're going to find out some things about Mr. Jonas Salk. Ladies and gentlemen. See, you're already getting, you know what's wrong with you? Jonas Saul's here, so you probably went out, you got your evening gown, and you were wearing jewelry, and you have probably have perfume because Jonas is here.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm wearing a damn evening gown and jewelry, and I've got my hair fixed and makeup on. Yeah, okay, think again, but, mister.
Well, with me, you still have your Friday underwear on in it.
Coffee.
Yeah,
what you
right. Talk? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Perfect, Jonas Saul, everybody.
Forget Jonas. And those are all women who are copying Jonas. Look at that. Good morning, Mr. Jonas Saul.
Good morning.
You see that?
Good morning.
It's a perfect, look at that voice, perfect voice. Good morning. You know, I mean, strong and he's up. Look at that guy. Look at Jonas.
Good morning. Live.
Jonas.
A radio voice.
Thanks for coming in. Jonas, you're calling from where? Are you calling from Denmark, or where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Greece.
Ah. There you go. Greece is the word.
I'm
well, Jonas, we're
a couple hours drive. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, you're a couple hours drive from where?
I'm a couple hours drive from the capital city, Athens.
Ooh.
Oh, where the... Jonas... I guess where the gods are, hun Jonas, you're a couple hours away from the gods.
Historically speaking, you would say that, yes. Actually, Agamemnon's tomb is about a 20-minute drive from my house.
Really? Wow.
Yes, lots of
Jonas,
history in this area.
It sure is. I would love to go there. Do you live in Greece, Jonas? I thought you were here in the States. I didn't know you lived in Greece.
No, I don't live here. I am staying here while I'm writing and researching, and then I travel again, and I'm always on the move.
Because of the police kind of thing, situation?
Right,
you know,
right.
Just...
Wait, no. Well, no, but...
Dirt, Ellen. Dirt. I know it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had a friend who traveled a lot like you, Jonas, and they caught him. He's serving life. It's okay, Jonas. You understand things. Jonas, Ellen thinks you're perfect. She gets all
I'm
giddy
not.
And I... Oh, you hear that, Ellen?
Yes,
far from
I hear
it.
That.
She gets all giddy, and then she plays kissy face with you on... Facebook. I see you two flirting around like this, like a bunch of children in the schoolyard. Well, Jonas, I'm going to thank you for coming on this show. I think you've been on before. Ellen interviewed you. But I'm going to give you a little personality test, and we'll get right to work. Are you ready to play, Jonas? And we'll see a little bit of a dark side of you by you answering this little survey questions that I put together. Would you mind answering them? Okay, good. All right, Jonas. I call this game I prefer. That's the name of the game. Jonas, do you prefer coffee or tea?
Coffee,
okay. Cake or ice cream?
Oh, cake.
Okay, good. Now, here's the situation. Jonas, you're driving on the highway. And you look and you see a blind little kitten crossing the road. And you know it's a blind kitten because it's going around in a circle in the middle of the road. And you're saying, that's a blind cat because it's not going to the other side. Now, if you stop for the kitten, somebody in back of you will get hurt because they'll crash in back of you. What do you do, Jonas? There's a kitten in front of you, but if you stop, the person in back of you could get injured. What do you do?
Oh, interesting. I think for me, there's no perfect answer here because it would all depend on many of the circumstances. It would depend on weather, It would depend on several things. But definitely, if there was a chance I could stop to assist an animal in need to get away from the road, I would prefer that. But if I'm going to stop and other people would be hurt, no, I would rather not other people being hurt.
That's really nice of you. So you will kill the kitten. I'll just put this down here. Jonas kills blind kitties. Just
harsh.
Now, Jonas, if you were in prison.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
And it was prom day. You're going to the prison prom. What kind of gentleman you'd be interested in taking to the prison prom?
I don't have a preference. There wouldn't be anyone. I wouldn't be going.
No preference? So you'll take anybody in prison to the dance. Just putting it down. You would be the belle of the ball. Okay. Now, Jonas, do you prefer short ladies or tall ladies?
Again, don't have a preference, but if I had to go with one or the other, I would go tall.
You would go tall. I guess too bad for the shorties. Dark side, Ellen. Well, judging by your score here, I judge you with the personality of a serial killer.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
It would.
I'm a Taurus. I'm a Taurus, and they say most serial killers are Tauruses.
Well, thanks for taking our survey, Mr. Saul. Hey, Jonas, let's get right to it. You know, Jonas, you're a great guy. I hear nothing but good things about Sarah's return, Sarah Roberts. And we are putting together a promotional package and a commercial, 30-second commercial. We have a special guest who's going to help put it together for you that you know her. She's a big fan of yours, too. I haven't read Sarah Roberts, any of her books. Can you tell me a little bit about the books and who is Sarah Roberts?
Sure. Sarah, as announced already, this 21st book just came out, and book 22 is scheduled for late April, early May. Sarah is an automatic writer when she first really just a form of clairvoyance where she has someone from the other side channel through her and she writes these notes. But these notes that she writes in the beginning of the series is these notes are prophetic. She can see the future through these notes, and they detail crimes, kidnappings, robberies, things like that. And Sarah races out to try and stop these things before they happen. And that's sort of how the series, book to book to book, it evolves. And by the time you're into the 15th book and so on, Sarah doesn't have to write these notes anymore. These messages come from the other side right to her head. And so she appears to be psychic and can go out and stop these crimes. So in the end of the day, really, she's just a psychic vigilante or a psychic detective, if you will.
Wow.
And that's why when the description was read, she was gone to Texas. She doesn't know why she's there yet. She's just been told to go to Texas, so she heads there. And that's where the trouble starts. A lot of times she doesn't get all the information and she gets caught up in some of the issues she's dealing with. She always ends up on the bad side of the law, too, because crimes are happening and kidnapping gone wrong. And the FBI get involved, and Sarah's sometimes on the run from the police, too. So it's usually a chaotic life and a crazy way to go. But she really feels this is her call to duty. This is her she's duty bound. This is something she just has to do because of these messages that she gets. And she feels that she's the only one who can stop a kidnapping or a murder or something.
You know, I love this. I do. Tell me about her sister, because she plays a big role in the Roberts series, doesn't she? Sarah Roberts series?
Yes, her sister is the one who is speaking to her from the other side. and has been speaking to her for over 10 years. Sarah started this venture when she was 18, and now in the current books, she's 27. And it's her sister who was murdered when Sarah was a little girl, when Sarah was like 3 or 4 years old. And so her sister is righting some wrongs, connecting with her.
I love this, Ellen.
Her sister's in every book.
Jonas, did you option this to any of the networks? Or, I mean, this should be a movie. I mean, I guarantee you this could be a great series.
Yes, actually. I struck a deal in 2016 with a company called Adaptive Studios in Los Angeles when I was down there doing some pitching. And Adaptive was in the development stage for a year and a half or two, and then Adaptive got bought, and all of their IPs were picked up, all their intellectual properties were picked up by a company called Mad River Pictures. Mad River Pictures now owns the rights to the Sarah Roberts series for movie, film, TV. And Mad River Pictures, they're the ones who just did the new Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra.
Right, right.
And so Mad River has the rights to Sarah right now. And
we are
still in negotiations and chatting with them to see where development is at this stage.
Wow. Good luck with that. I had the same problem. I did a film, and Orion Pictures, way back in the day, they optioned my movie. But what happened to Orion is they went bankrupt. I forgot who bought Orion Pictures. But my movie was shelved. Never seen it again. They owned the rights. They owned everything. Never saw it again.
Oh, wow.
So that's a – well, I mean, that's my story, but I know what you're saying. I mean, that's a hard thing. Keep doing it, man. I mean, nowadays, Jonas, you got streaming service. You got Disney. You can option up to anyone. I mean, they're just hungry for content, especially Netflix. So you have a lot of resources now and options. But Sarah Roberts, man, it would be a hit. I would watch it. It would be a great series. Congratulations on, I think, book 21. Am I correct? Book 21?
Yes, yes.
Congratulations, Jonas. I love the cover. I'm looking at Sarah Roberts running into a tunnel. What age would you say? You're saying she's about, what, 18, what, 22 now? Or 27, you said, right?
Yeah, 27 now, yep.
Okay, and that's a good age because she's still a, you know, she's young. She's not a millennial because she's younger than a millennial, isn't she? Or is she a millennial at 27? Might be a millennial.
I'd say she's a bit younger than that.
Yeah.
Could be. I never really thought about that because she's just so mature in the series. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't sort of fall into a lot of what millennials say or do. So I hadn't really thought about that. Being their age.
Well, yeah. And Jonas, as a man, this is interesting. What made you write a series about a female detective, even a psychic female detective? That's very interesting. Why didn't you write one about a guy, a boy? You know, that's the go-to as a boy detective and revolves. But why Sarah? Why this particular character?
That's a good question. A lot of times I don't really think about why I'm going to choose a certain character, a certain race, or a lot of times I feel that I write what fits the story or what fits my narrative in my mind, the ideas that I'm creating. Because I've also written several standalone novels and a mafia book, a time travel novel, and so on. A lot of times I just, what do I need for this story? And in my opinion, this story needed a female who had lost her sister. And to me, that really fit. And what I, you know, originally, I mean, I wrote the first book over 20 years ago. And I sat on book one and book two and book three for, geez, almost a decade before they came out. Reworking, editing, writing them, creating that world. And I never stopped to think once that, I'm writing a woman here. For me, mm-hmm. it was just Sarah was necessary. It had to be a woman to work for the story. In my opinion, it had to be, and so I just did my best with it.
Well, it looked like you did perfect because I'm looking at your reviews. I mean, I'm on Amazon right now, and you got 5 out of 5 star on everyone who read your story. 5 out of 5, Jonas. Here's one of your reviews. Here it is. Oh, my God. Jonas has done it again. This novel kept me on the edge of my seat throughout the entire book. He gets Sarah and her gang of friends into some of the most dangerous, frightening, and scary situations, and somehow finds a way to not only save them, but to take all of us along in his journey. The reader feels, at least I do, that they are in this with Sarah, and they couldn't put it down, and wound up being awake until 5 a.m. And then they have a little P.S. P.S. He's not really that nice to Brian the Hammer Jackson, but thank you for the review. There you go. That's from Nanny J. Oh, and you got one more. Do you get embarrassed with these good reviews here? I mean, you are knocking us out of the park. Here's a person named Kelly.
No, I don't get.
You don't?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't get embarrassed.
One.
I love reviews. I love good reviews. And you're right. I mean, this book came out 2 weeks ago, and there's already 14 five-star reviews. And it's a great response. I mean, the readers love the Sarah journey, and they're already looking for the next one.
Yeah. Well, you have a person named Kathy. She says, wow, I'm so happy Sarah has returned. I love reading how Jonas writes his books. I often wondered where his plots come from. Are you a drinking man, Jonas? I mean, are you drunk when you do this and like you're an alcoholic?
No. Sorry, you make me laugh sometimes. Bursts out of laughter. Am I an alcoholic? No. Although I do enjoy my alcohol. I'm a wine drinker with lots. I love whiskey.
Really?
Every time I finish a book, and it's all done, then I grab my whiskey. But while I'm writing, no, I don't do too much drinking while I'm writing. That takes away from the creative process.
Well, you and I both have that in common. I grab my whiskey before I do this show. It's the only way I can get through it.
Ah.
But
good.
Here it is right here. Where do you get your plots from? This person, Kathy, I often wonder, where does he get his plots from? You know, when you write, Jonas, what is the situation? Are you alone? Do you are you closing everything up and you stay in a cabin or you stay somewhere until you finish a book? Or do you write a couple of chapters, go outside and try to get your muse? What's going on there? What is your thing?
That's a great question because years ago when I was a young writer, I wanted to know how other writers had done it. For me, it's solitary confinement. I actually mm-hmm. need to be completely alone. I need to turn off my internet, turn off my email. I flick the button on my cell phone to turn it off in case I'm texted while I'm writing. And I get lost in the scene. I feel like I'm in the room with Sarah. I can look at the walls in that room. I can see what pictures are there. I kind of feel that I need to get lost. And before I know, I end up with another 1,500 words. And I'll snap out of a scene or something. I'll finish a chapter. And then, yes, I'll get up and I'll walk around. I'll get some coffee. I will step outside and even sit for 10 or 15 minutes and just sip my coffee and look off into space or something. But then I'll get back into it. And I get my word count done every day. And when I'm done that, that's my process. I just, the important thing is you've got to sit down those fingers on the keyboard as an author.
Right.
Too many times. There are things that authors do, and I'm guilty, that keep us from creating new words. And one of the biggest sins of an author is rereading what you've written that morning or that day or the yesterday, and then editing it. And, ooh, I got to fix this and fix that. And before you know it, your day is over and you don't have any new words. I always, you write right through and you edit when the book is done.
So you do your own editing and proofreading. You don't send it off to your publisher and, you know, and that it. You just go, you try to edit as much as you can.
Oh. No, no, no. I do the first draft and then I do a read through to make sure it's coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do send it off to the editor. Absolutely. And when the editor's done, then I send it to another one and then proofreaders. And then I send it to beta readers.
Really?
It goes out. Oh, yeah. And after the 12th person has read it, they still find things everyone else missed. Even myself. I can't. A writer, it's very hard for a writer to edit their own work where I'm too close to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you say, as a writer, you've been writing for a while, would you say you developed any kind of disorder like an OCD? Because, you know, when I'm directing movies and everything like this, you go over and over and over again. I never developed it until I actually got into my craft as an author. I would think you would develop a minor symptom of OCD because you're constantly, okay, you're writing it, you're editing it, okay, you're proofreading it, and you do it again and you're doing it again. Do you think you developed anything like that?
Not that I know of, no, because for me, the process is quite simple. Well, I mean, I say
right.
It's simple, but I've written over 30 novels, so it's become something simple for me. I literally just write the first draft, and then I take some time off, and I do a read-through, just like you would read a novel. I just sit at my desk and
mm-hmm.
read it through from beginning to end. Once I'm done that, I generally don't have much more work with it. Let me explain. I mean, my editors send me back all the fixes, and my beta readers send me back fixes. Sure, I'm back into that manuscript constantly and updating it and fixing it, but do I read it through again?
Mm-hmm.
Through, I'm pretty well done with it. I mean, the process of the OCD part. And you know, one thing that is important for writing and writers, they have to know that they say, this is a quote, and I forget who said it, but the quote is, a novel is never completed, it's abandoned. It's something like that. I think I'm paraphrasing, but the point is, every writer can look at their novel and reread it 100 times and still want to change something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I learned years ago on my fourth or fifth novel to just write it, read it, okay, I'm good, I really like this novel, I'm ready to go, and then I send it out for edits, and I abandon it, I let it go. I don't hold on
really?
To it. I get on to the next book.
Wow.
Like I wrote a first draft of a novel in December, and
mm-hmm.
I wrote a first draft of a novel in November, because I write my first drafts rather quick, and I'm just finishing a third novel. This week I'll be finishing the first draft of this novel that I'm writing. And then the process of editing and beta readers takes a very long time, and then getting it published takes another you know, 6 months or longer. And it depends on the publisher. In one case, I have a book that I'm submitting to a publisher in May. That one won't come out until late spring next year or summer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hmm. So when you submit out something, are you submitting a manuscript for them to approve it or not before? And then you're actually sending them the whole mm-hmm. book. You're sending them the whole
yes,
book.
Yes, actually, in one case, in the case of May, that I'm submitting a manuscript, I'm submitting the,
mm-hmm.
there's a book called The Immortal Gene by Vesuvian, my publisher. They've contracted me out for the whole trilogy. So I have book
mm-hmm.
two, it's due. So it's not, it's a matter of me finishing that draft, ready to go. I submit that book in May to Vesuvian, and that book is scheduled for next spring, I think, or next summer. I can't be sure which exact date it is, but that one is already contracted. And so book two to The Immortal Gene will be submitted before June, before the summer this year. And it'll take another year or more before it comes out.
Wow.
Oh, that'd be great. I know. Busy
did
guy.
Jonas, did it take that long for The Immortal Gene to come out? Or was it a quick process?
No, it took that long.
Wow.
I don't remember the dates, but I think I gave them Immortal Gene in 2017, and it came out late 2018, September or something. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up, but it was at least, it's 12 to 16 months, because it's not so much the publisher who holds it up. It's not like they sit on it. you know, they publishers invest in these authors, and they want more and more product on the market. A lot of times the editors are just stressed. They have so many novels to get through, and they can't rush. You can't rush editing. And anyway, once the book's ready, then they've got to get it into the promotionary. They've got stages. They've got to get the publishers. They've got to get. There's so much to do, and a lot of times,
right,
it's actually not that. There are publishers right now who are buying books and scheduling them for 2022.
Wow.
Are publishers who have a 2-year wait to get it onto the street. So it's but you know, with the Sarah Roberts series, going back to that, I own the ebook rights. I never sold the ebook rights. So with Sarah, I can write that. I'm a hybrid author, which means I do publish my books through my publishers, multiple publishers. Mm-hmm. But with Sarah, I self-publish those. Those are mine.
Really?
So there's no wait time. When I write
a
first draft and get it to my editor and it's all edited and ready to go, I contract out the covers, I contract out everything, and I put that up myself.
Wow.
So my Sarah
Great
book
idea.
Is coming out in April. Yeah, I can have my Sarah books coming out late April, book 22, and then book 23 I'll probably have. Probably about July or August I'll have book 23 come out. I can keep coming a Sarah book out every 3 or 4 months because I can do that whenever I want.
There you go. That's the ticket
like
in stone.
You have multiple irons in the fire. So how, I mean, you work on the Sarah Roberts series for a little while, and then you might take a break and work on another book?
That's exactly what I do. Yeah, I write a Sarah, then I write a standalone. Then I write a Sarah contract for the publisher, then which I'll be giving to The Immortal Gene Part 2. I have to finish that. And then I write another Sarah and go back to another standalone.
Wow. Is it hard to keep track of all your characters? Is there a time when they might meld together and you might think, wait, okay, this character doesn't belong in this book. This is the Sarah Roberts character.
No, you know, I understand that it might feel like it could, but this is my life. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years and it's, I've got a detailed notebook and I keep each novel has its own set of research notes and everything's so isolated and I really only work on one book at a time. And I never, I don't even think about Sarah when I'm writing a standalone. And when that book is done, and as I said a moment ago, I abandon it, it's done. Then I start making my notes on the next book or my research notes and I start thinking of Sarah and her world again. And her boyfriend and the people that help her. Yeah, they really never get mixed up to me. But it's something I've been doing for so long that it's second nature. I know their world so well. They're very real to me. You know, Sarah's been in my life for 20 years.
Well,
she's just a character in
a
book, but.
Well, here's how real, and they're real to other people too, Jonas. I'm going to finish reading, not the whole thing, but these are some of the reviews. I mean, Amazing as the Last 20, that's by Ron. So you have a crossover audience, not only just females, but you have males too. Nanny J, great read. Kathy, wow. Sue, love it. SG Lee, how does he do it? Mic drop. That's from another person, another great adventure. And here's one, I like this one. How come he doesn't write more about Brian Hammer Jackson and his travels? I'm waiting for that book. I like that guy. Jonas, you hit it out of the park. You hit it out of the park. Now, you wanted to talk about other things, too. By the way, we're talking to Jonas Saul. That's S-A-U-L. And we're talking about his book and his series, the Sarah Roberts series. Excellent reviews, great writer. Jonas has a lot of fans. I'm one of them. I'm jealous of him, Mr. Perfect. But we found out that he likes to run over kitties. So that might be a flaw. No, he doesn't. Jonas, we have authors on the show all the time, and I know you want to expand your conversation to help some people. You wanted to talk briefly regarding the writing process. Can you explain a little bit about that? And maybe some other authors can get some clues of what's going on.
Well, I kind of wanted to, you know, if the conversation organically turned to the writing process, I figured there would be a few things we could discuss. But there is one thing I wanted to bring up. And mm-hmm. I noticed this this happens a lot at the writers' conferences that I've been to. I was on a panel at several conferences, but one in particular in Vancouver, Canada, where we were discussing word count, daily word count. Mm-hmm. What do other authors, many word count, or many people have a word count of 1,000 words a day or 1,500. I understand Stephen King is notorious for having about 3,000 a day at his peak or something like that. I can't quote that for a fact, but I've read that several times. But then there's other authors who have, like Michael Crichton, has been known for doing 15 to 18,000 words back in the day per day.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sounds incredible to me. That's a lot of words. That would take forever to write 18,000 words in one day. But, I mean, there are people out there that do that. My point is, I've often been asked, what's my word count per day? And I'm very happy with my word count, and I love to advertise it. But then I started to notice at writers' conferences that by my word count. And I realized that it's better to – something I learned years ago, it's called reduce to the ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell my word count for other writers out there, but I'm going to reduce it to the ridiculous. Let me explain that. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to write 500 words, depending on how fast you type. So as an author, and you're creating, we're not talking a secretary or a typist or someone who naturally will do 90 words per minute or whatever it is, but I'm talking about just, you know, writing a story, doing dialogue, doing all the punctuation and so on. Let's say for argument's sake, it takes a half hour to do 500
mm-hmm.
words. I'm what I consider, it's my full-time job. So I write 5 and sometimes 6 days a week. So let's go at 5 days a week. So I do 500 words 10 times a day. And I want people to get that I'm going to be talking about it in the future at other conferences this way. What that means is I do 5,000 words every day. But if I just blurt out that I do 5,000 words a day, a lot of writers say, what? That's why. And often I've actually overheard writers saying, no, nobody could do that or something.
Mm-hmm.
I do 5,000 a day. Not just I have to defend it or something. I just want everyone to get that if you can write 500 words in a half hour, you could write 1,000 words in an hour. So I work about 5 to 6 hours a day. I don't even do a full 8-hour day, and I still get my 5,000 in every day. And that's why it's 25,000 words a week, and an average-sized thriller is about 90,000 words. That's why it only takes me about 3 or 4 weeks to write a first draft. But I get in on Monday morning. I get at my desk Monday morning, and I start typing. I just do 500 or 1,000 words, and I stop. Have a coffee, whatever. Hang around, it's like noon now, have a little lunch, and I do another 1,000 words, then another 1,000. And then at 4 in the afternoon, I do my final 1,000. It's a very simple day. It's very calm. It goes by slow, and I just enjoy it. And I do 5,000 a day. But I only fits and starts. Now, there are some times when I do more. Last week on Thursday and Friday, both days, I did over 7,000. I was in some.
Wow.
I was dealing with some good scenes, and I was dealing with some energy and lots of tension and lots of emotional stakes, and I really needed to finish those scenes, and so I ended up being over 3,000, almost 4,000 words ahead of my weekly count. But then this week I had a couple days where I didn't do 5 because I'm so far ahead. I didn't have to. But my goal is always 25 a week. 75,000 words after 3 weeks. And then I usually know how to finish the novel by that point. And in the fourth week, I'm coming up to the 90,000 mark. $400,000.
Interesting. Oh. And you know what I used to do when I was in production, Jonas, when I was creating a character? I would test it out, something as a focus group. When I was writing, again, I'm not even up to your level, but when I was creating my characters, I used to test it out. And I did not have Facebook when I was around, but if they had Facebook, are you ever interested in testing out a situation or a character, not telling anybody, but just to see how the public would react on this character if you wanted to add a new character in a Sarah Roberts, maybe it's a antagonist. And then you're going to go, you know, I know this guy, blah, 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 blah. What do you think of him? I mean, do you ever think about using Facebook as a focus group just to get you some ideas of where we're going to go or if there's a new character you want to put in a book?
No, I haven't done that. No, I keep a lot of what I'm doing to myself.
Right.
I keep everything quite secret. The odd time I might reveal a bit of a plot point or not a spoiler, but I might say, hey, I'm writing a book about this, like a blurb, but that's about as far as I ever go. I keep a lot of it pretty private. No one knew what book 21 was about until I put the blurb up on Amazon. I hadn't told anybody. I don't bounce ideas off of anyone either. Maybe I'm just too secretive. I really love to keep all of it to myself. Part of the reason is I might make a change, and I've gone and and I just really keep there are a couple of people in my life that I could say, hey, what do you think, would this work, how do you feel? Those people
right.
are personal friends of mine who intimately know the story of Sarah, so I could bounce an idea off of them, and then we could, you know, even weeks later reach out and say, yeah, I decided not to do that, and that doesn't matter as much. I value their opinion. But would I do it publicly? Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's probably a good idea.
Tell me about.
I wouldn't discount the idea, but.
That's what I used to do when I was creating my characters. And I found out a lot of people hated them. The more they hated, I did it just to get a rise out of them, what kind of emotion, whether the hate or love or whatever. If the character had some kind of, just the character had some kind of emotion, I would even go in. There were chat rooms I would go in, Jonas, and I would be that character just to get the focus, you know, the focus group on that character to see how they respond to this character with this personality. That's what I used to do, just real life. But never tell them it was me, but going in as a character. Let's talk about, Jonas, how important is promotion? And there's two parts of this question. How important is promotion of your book? And what's the number one mistake that most authors make when they're promoting their books?
Okay. How important is promotion? Promotion is almost like, I'd almost say it's the most important of them. I mean, yes, you've got to write a good book. Yes, you've got to have a good cover and a good blurb. Everything has to work. But most importantly, you have to write a good book. You can promote everywhere up and down the street, but if your book needs editing still or it's not, you know, well done, all that promotion will fall flat. So having said that, you've got everything ready to go, yeah, promotion is everything. I mean, it's so important. You have to get out in front of people. And so, although the one thing I learned years ago, and this actually leads right into the mistake authors make part of this question. It's 2011, and I learned then through trial and error that you have to spend more time writing another book than you spend promoting. There's several publishers out there that would disagree, but I was promoting. Let's say I had a 10-hour workday at my computer. I was promoting and focusing on ads and doing all kinds of things for 5, 6, and 7 hours a day. It was full-time work, being my own publicist, and I was only dedicating just a few hours to writing. That was back in 2011, and the sales weren't there. It wasn't happening. And then I read online somewhere and it said, the best way to promote yourself is to write another book.
Hmm.
timetables on a I started writing 7 hours a day and just promoting for a few. And suddenly I had another book out. Then I had another book. 12 books, and I already got – and then I got a call from Hollywood. Then I hit 15 books, and I was flying to Hollywood to pitch the studios. I went to Sony, Universal, Lionsgate. And all that happened because I started writing book after book after book. The best way to promote
yourself
is to write another book. One of the biggest mistakes authors make is they write one book or they write two, and they're looking for their name on the best. You know, that sure, that can happen, but at that point, you're looking at a lottery ticket. You've got to write another book. I say that at every conference and talk to every writer I can. Great, you've written a book. Let's go write it. Remember, publishers don't invest in a book. Publishers invest in an author. Often when you are signing a deal, they want to know what else you've written. They want to know how, you know, and often they're not buying a book. They're often signing a contract that is a 3-book deal or a 5-book. In some cases, I've heard. And so you've got to write another book, and that's what will promote you. And so I just gave up at one point. I think it was late 2011. Other than social media and just saying hello and chatting with people, I kind of gave up on almost all promotion, took all my ads off, stopped everything, and just kept writing full time. And then I didn't have to work anymore.
Well,
you gotta write another book.
That's good advice. And we have, I know you're calling from Greece, so sometimes we're having a dropout. I think it's Blog Talk, but we're getting, are you hearing a dropout, Ellen? Are you hearing a little bit, or is it just my end?
It sounds like it might be a delay.
Yeah, it's just a little tiny delay, but it was still good. Jonas, that's great advice. Let me add, you know, sometimes you think author. I interviewed a lot of authors, and one person had a great book. I suggested a change of a cover. They didn't like it. I said, cool, go to your publisher. Do you find that sometimes authors get too close to their characters or to their book that they're not they're not willing to change something if maybe if the publisher suggests maybe this or maybe the editor says, well, maybe we could go this way. But then you get this author who is so close to their work that they will not change at all and not take advice of other people. Have you found that to be you at one point or another?
I'd have to say yes. I think that I was that way a little bit more when I first started. And more times I was wrong. The industry there is one time in 2004, my editor from New York suggested an entire scene be taken out of the first Sarah Roberts book. And I didn't want to let go of that scene. It's not, maybe I was too close to it. I refused to remove it. And I said, you know, I'm keeping it. I really feel it's necessary. And I really feel that it forwards the story. The editor wrote back saying, well, I disagree. You know, and this editor was ranked in one of the top 10 editors in New York. And it turned out that one case, I was right. The reason is that editor wrote back to me about 2 years later and told me that they were so happy I fought them on that and kept it because that scene, it was pivotal for book two too. And so, but that was only one case. I mean, I had, are you there? Yeah. It just dropped out.
Yeah,
for me too.
I'm here. We just have a little delay.
Okay, good. Yeah. I had another book in 2012 that my editor out of the States, I forget which one, I think it was Ohio or somewhere. My editor in 2012 had a book and told me there was a 5,000-word scene at the beginning of my Mafia books. I have a trilogy. Anyway, that editor said to me that, yeah, you have to rewrite this whole thing. It can't be this way. You can't, and here's the reasons why. And in fact, I recommend you do, you know, A, B, and C with this scene. And that editor, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, but he was right. And I did make the change, and the book is better for it. But I spent agonizing hours to make sure that scene was right. And then I had to basically delete it and rewrite it with, from another angle. And that editor was right. But then, you know, one more example. I was handed back Immortal Gene from my publisher. And Immortal Gene, the publisher had taken that book on, and there was a 10,000-word section about halfway through the book that they said, this won't work. There's a problem with it, and here's the problem. And you need to change it to – here's a few suggestions, but you can't do what's there. You've got to fix that. And without getting into all the details, that was hard too. I didn't like it. I really loved the way it was, but they were right. And it took me several weeks to remove that scene, that rather large scene, in addition to remove all references to it throughout the book, because later after that scene, there would be references to it. So I had to rewrite what happened in that scene from a different geographical standpoint. So that took some rereading and some, it took a lot of work to make that change. But again, they were right. What you need to learn, what authors need to do, what they need to learn is that, yeah, they are close to their story and it's their baby, but at the end of the day, industry professionals probably know what they're talking about. But if you really feel strongly about something, you can stand your ground. But like you suggesting a cover change or even a blurb change, authors need to not have a lot of them have thick skin. We need to move on past that and disengage the ego.
Yeah. Well, we have, Jonas, can you believe it? We did an hour interview. It goes by so fast with you. At this point, you have 2 minutes. Jonas, 2 minutes. Tell everybody where they get the book. You're a great author. You're a successful author. I read the reviews. You're a great guy. But tell people how to get the book and promote it a little bit. And it's all yours, Jonas.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you so much for having me, too. It's an honor. I love chatting with you
guys.
My
pleasure.
My novels are all available on Amazon. Some are available on, Apple and Kobo and Barnes & Noble and so on. But many of the print are all available at any local bookstore for order if they're not on the shelf. Barnes & Noble carries they carry the Immortal Gene, but mostly my books are all available through ebook everywhere. Ebooks are sold.
And Jonas, how do they get a hold of
you? Go ahead.
How do they get a hold? Are you on Twitter, Facebook, social media, so your fans can get a hold of you?
Everywhere. Yep. Twitter, Facebook. Oh. One of the best places is Facebook. I do all of my updates there. Facebook feeds out to Twitter itself. Instagram.
I have one exit question. Wow, you're all over the place. I have one exit question. Have you ever, in your attire, while you're doing this series, saw somebody that looked like your character, Sarah? Whether you're sitting in a coffee shop or something and a girl walks by and you're going, that's Sarah. Have you ever seen anybody that looks like your character?
No. The answer is yes. But not in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
There's in Hollywood that make me think of Sarah, but only because they're in the movies and I've seen them acting and I've seen what they can do.
Right.
But no, I've never met anybody who, you know, just walked by or saw someone that I felt was Sarah. Sarah's more of a personality than she is a look.
Right.
Sarah's an emotional, strong woman with lots of emotion, and it's someone I have to see on screen before I can feel that that's the person. Just to see someone walk by, I've never seen Sarah that way.
Jonas Saul, everybody. Jonas Saul. I had to do that. I'm sorry. I wanted to do that live because now we're in podcast. They got you. We're still live at TuneIn and Stitcher. We're still live, but we're in podcasts and Blog Talk, and I just wanted to mention your name again. It's Jonas Saul. You'll know the name, S-A-U-L. It's a guy who's popular, great writer, selling a lot of books. That's him. The books, the series is called Sarah Roberts. Again, they're everywhere. Jonas, it's been great. It went by fast, Jonas. What do you think? It went by really fast.
Oh, it's great.
Cole's in the studio. He has a couple questions real quick.
Oh,
well,
go ahead.
Okay. They have to be really quick because we do have a doubleheader. I could talk to you. You know, Jonas, you're a pretty good guy. I could talk to you for a long time. I mean, I could see me having a cup of coffee with you, of course, you buying, and have a long talk.
Yep. We'd have a great time.
We would. We have to leave Ellen alone. She's kissy face with you. She's smitten. She's one of your biggest fans. You are.
I am a big fan of
Yeah, you are. He's a great writer. Cole, really quick question. This is Cole.
Hey Brian, Ellen, everybody in the world. I'm sorry, I came in late, so all I knew that you're in Greece having some feta cheese or something. So what's your name again, sir, so I can address you properly?
It's Jonas Saul. Jonas Saul.
Jonas Saul. All right, Mr. Saul, that sounds like a French philosopher's name. Oh, wait, that's Jean-Paul, sorry. Okay, so two quick questions. I heard you mention, and this is kind of my, modus operandi, as Brian will attest, and maybe Ellen will. I heard you said you wrote a mob film or a mob book. I want to know if that got picked up by anybody, and if not, maybe I could find you on Facebook because I'd like to see if I might fit the lead character. That's the first question. Second question is, you said you collaborate, you're a hybrid author. I know you're busy. I wish I had followed your formula and just stopped trying to get my 15 screenplays into Susan Sarandon and James Gandolfini's hand on Broadway or wherever I run into people in the city or ambush them, go out to L.A. in a train, where that never worked, trying to give people scripts. So I wish I had taken my scripts and my focus and my energy to turn my scripts into books. And then it seems like when you have a book that's really hot, if a book is a bestseller, studios are going to take you more seriously than if you're an unknown author trying to give a script to get a star attached. The film never gets made. I mean, I got stuff that now I can't even do myself because I'm too old for the characters.
Okay, Cole, do you have a question? Cole, do you have a question?
My question is, are you up to collaborating on something that I've written to turn it into a book so we can get a film made from? So it's just two questions. The mob film, what's the name of the mob book? Has it been picked up by a studio yet? Are there any parts that for a maniac, and would you be interested in at least reading my 165-page screenplay to adapt it to a, because it's like a casino type thing. I don't edit my stuff.
I know you're asking him. He's such a gentleman.
Yeah.
And
he can say, no, I'm busy. I understand he's busy. You don't have to set anything up. Right? Just let him answer the two questions.
There you go, Mr. Saul. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, Cole. There you go, Mr. Saul.
Brian always has to have a disclaimer with me because I try and tailgate and get people's phone numbers and their home addresses and try and box them into a corner to try and get my shit done. Okay. So,
you're not helping your situation.
I have to bring in security. But you can't tase me on Blog Talk Radio 3,000 miles away.
Mr. Jonas' car is here. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonas Saul, everybody.
All right, Jonas, real quick. I know you got to go. Go. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonas, for coming in.
Can you guys still?
No,
Jonas,
no.
Wait. What's the name of the mob book? Please, come on.
He's writing one. Cole, he's right. He hasn't finished it.
But,
he's,
Brian, he would have been
writing.
Done with the question. You would have been done with the answers already. What's the name of the box?
I know.
Oh, you're still writing it?
Okay, let's see if Jonas wants to answer the question.
Okay, it's done.
Jonas?
It's done. The Mafia book is
called Sharp Fear. Sharp Fear. And it's about 800-page novel, and it's on Amazon right now. It did come out already. But no, that one has not been picked up by Hollywood.
So obviously that would be a series because it's 800 pages. So there's nobody's going to go see a 16-hour version of Doubleheader of Gone to the Wind. So that's a series, right?
That could easily be a series.
Now, could you chop that down to 130 or 200 and make a two-hour movie? Could you extract all that into one two-hour thing? Could it be possibly a feature? Or no, that's it. It's either a series or it's not going to be on
two-hour movie. Yeah, you could turn that book into a two-hour movie. There's a
you
lot of things that a movie could handle.
Okay, cool.
No. There's too much that happens in that book.
Okay, so that should be a series.
It starts in Italy, and and back in the States, and then it's over in Florida, and it's in Greece, and it's a manhunt across the world after the mafia, the Gambino family. It's actually intense.
That sounds epic, bro. And then the other question is, are you willing to take a look at what I have to, you know, collaborate? Would you take a look at Read 10 Pages? And then that's it. You can go. You know, there you go.
Hey, I'm always open to read somebody's work, but collaborate, I don't generally do that. I have, part of the reason is I've got 5 contracts and 5 or 6 books that I have to write by the end of the year. First draft.
Right. That's what I figured. You're a busy dude.
Thank you, Carl.
I have clients sending me work all the time, and I literally am working 10 to 12 hours a day for the next year.
Right.
So I generally don't take anyone on to work with me, or part of the reason
I'm
in.
Okay, cool. Listen, hold hope out. I can hold out for hope, and like you said, generally, well, I'm not your general actor. I'm not your general writer. So we'll reconvene in the year. If you can read 10 pages, that'd be great. Thanks for your time, Brian. Sorry, didn't mean to grandstand everything. Just wanted to ask
Here's what I like about you. You see an opportunity. You see an opportunity. You see a great guy who has things going on in the fire and he's moving forward. And you don't hesitate to ask. And you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And I like that. I like that, being a little persistent.
I know
not,
my tone,
breaking,
my aggressiveness.
Not stalking.
I know in the past.
I agree.
Yeah. I know in the past I could be too aggressive and scare people that I may read on Broadway instead of kind of, you know, having the first date, you know, getting it, warming them up. But I just, for me, it's like, what? You have scripts. You've written 15. You're dealing with motion pictures. I see parts. And it's not like about me. It's not about me. It's about, wait, I want to see what this person has. Because maybe the parts that you wrote, when you see me on screen and I audition, you go, no, I don't want anybody else besides that guy for Shark Week, whatever the name. I'm sorry, Shark. I missed the second name of that. But I love Sharks.
I like how you see an opportunity, and I like how you step into it, and I like how you graciously be overbearing to the person who's giving you the answer, and you accept it, and you move on, and you're complimentary. Nice touch, Cole. Very good, Jonas.
I just have one last question: how many of your books have been picked up?
So good.
No, I know, because you didn't hang up yet. Graciously, hold on to that graciously thought. How many books have been picked up? Wait, but Brian, how many, Mr. Saul, how many books of yours have been picked up for TV or movie that are in the process or in pre-production? Has anything gone to screen yet? That was my last question. And oh, by the way, Brian, MGM in 1997 bought out Orion Pictures. I just found that out.
Did they really? I wonder who bought out Orion.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, MGM.
Huh.
So has anything, Mr. Saul, has anything gone to screen?
Well,
is anything about to go to screen?
The books of the Sarah Roberts series. Nothing's gone to screen yet. Only options.
Okay, so nothing's in pre-production. Nothing's being filmed. Like everything is still pre. It's not happened yet for the screen yet. But all your irons all your skillets are on the fire, ready to go.
Right. In fact, they're being packaged. There's a director attached.
Okay.
Wow.
So you just need money. That's where you're just pitching. You're at a pitch point right now, right?
Right. I would imagine that is the last stage. The pitching of the idea to start attaching everything with CAA involved, that all has taken place. But the money.
That's the most important.
Who's going
to
pick it up?
That's the hardest part. Is that?
That's right.
That's the hardest part, is to get CA to any of those people.
Then
once you start attaching stuff, then you can get the money when you say, look, I got Cole Blackwell, and where you can make this.
There you go, Cole. Congratulations, Jonas.
Hey, thanks for your time, man. I didn't overstate my boundary there, Brian.
I gotta let him go, Cole.
I gotta
let him go. He's in Greece right now. It's probably about maybe 7 o'clock p.m. there. Yeah.
All right, cool. Enjoy your meal tonight. Thanks for your time.
Okay, Jonas, thank you so much for coming in the studio. It's always been a pleasure, and you know the studio is yours. Anytime you want to promote anything, or come in and just sit with us. And Ellen's such a big fan. You know, she'll probably rip off. Ellen, I'm gonna give you the last 30. I'm gonna give you the last 10 seconds because I know how much you love Jonas. She loves Jonas. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's always great talking to Jonas, and, you know, and I see him on Facebook all the time. I mean, and he engages with his fans and, you know, just engages with people.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, it's fun to see Jonas. And he does like you, Brian.
No, he doesn't. I see you guys play Donkey Face.
Of course.
Brian, he loves here more than you do, man. I'm sorry to break it to you, you know. Sorry about that, dude.
Well, he's a great guy.
But, you know,
he's a really great guy.
You know, Ellen, you're right. I mean, you've got to be social on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's the number one way to let people know about your books is if you're in the mix, right there in the spotlight,
yep.
Mixing people, letting them know about your books.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so hey, Mr. Saul, with that being said, just check your inbox. I'm going to send you about 17 scripts. Just read all 17 and get back to you.
Call.
Get back to you next week, all right?
Jonas, I tried. You're such a nice guy. I tried, Jonas.
He tried to get you off the phone, and I fucking butchered it again at the end because I'm Miles Dell.
Jonas Saul, everybody, you guys are out of control. Leave the man alone. Thank you so much, Jonas. Safe travels,
all
my
right,
friend.
Thank
the
you.
Book is called
all right.
Sarah Roberts. Get it everywhere. The author, the great author, Jonas Saul. Thank you, my friend. Have a
thank
great
you.
Day. You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hey, thanks. I look forward to reading that 800-page book. I can do the audio book for you for like $20 if you want. All right,
okay, cool.
Okay.
We do have a double header. We have
Listen, Brian, I played about 50 double headers in my life. So my record is like 22-1 on the mound. So anyway, 22-5. I had to play some shitty teams. Anyway, go ahead.
We do have another author coming on. Her name, Ellen. Her name, really, it's going to be an interesting interview. Is it Adrian, Ellen?
Yes, it's Adrian Barker. Yep.
Okay.
And her book is
Go ahead, sweetheart.
No, I said, and the name of her book is Head Down, Shut Up.
Yeah, it sounds like my relationship.
Oh, my God.
Well, it really does. Well, we're going to talk to Adrian.
Is that
with
the hooker?
Right
is that
now.
With the hooker or your girlfriend or me, Brian? Who are you referring to right there?
Oh, my God.
Up and down.
Why do I want to blow my brains out right now? Right here. It'll be live on the air.
No, don't do
we're
that, man.
Talk to you.
Hey, listen, make an insurance policy out. Leave me as the benefactor if you do that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about Adrian, and it goes into abuse. It goes into foster care system, Ellen. And I usually don't talk to people. She seemed pretty nice on Facebook. We're going to ask her some hard questions and see what's up with her. And, again, everybody, thank you for listening. And the reason you listen is because we get the greatest guest, and Jonas is like the A-list. And I'm glad he gives us the time. He's a great guy, polite guy. I mean, Sarah Roberts, get the book. If I had to give advice to an author, the only advice, and I'm not an author, but the only advice I can give is know your audience. Right, Jonas? You got to know your audience. Am I correct? Is that one of the best things when you write? You got to know who you're writing to and who's giving you the accolades and bringing you to the number one bestseller?
Absolutely. You have to. You really should.
Yeah. And I think that's a mistake that some people do. They write one book and they go, okay, let me try this. And they're trying to reach everybody and they reach no one. All right, guys. I hope you stay tuned. Ellen, when's the next show? I can get a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have time for a cup of coffee. The next show is in 15 minutes at 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. So,
okay.
Her author's name is Adrian Barker, and her book is Head Down, Shut Up.
All right. There's some private time. We got about a minute. Do you want to give Jonas your phone number and a picture of you, and maybe you could sign it, and then you could swoon all day?
No.
Jonas, you're a lady killer,
me?
Jonas.
No.
All right,
that's
buddy.
Why I'm single.
Oh, can you imagine, Jonas? Maybe if you got – see, here's a catch-22. You're so successful now as a single man. Are you afraid that when you get in a relationship that maybe you won't have enough time to write and that kind of thing can kind of ruin your routine?
See, that's why he's staying single, because he knows damn well that that's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
The woman
would definitely change my routine.
To say, you never spend enough time with me. You're always writing.
Oh.
Yeah, it would definitely change my routine. But I wrote, of my 30 books, 35 books I've written, I wrote over 30 of them in a relationship. So the relationship doesn't stop you from your passion.
But see, that's when you were married, right, Jonas? And you guys had kids, so your children probably kept your wife busy.
Right. We had a system. I'd get up and go to work every day, just like everyone else. Just so happens I would be in the office in the house.
I love that work ethic. Do you get dressed, Jonas? I mean,
every
when
time.
You actually
collared
go to work?
Shirt. Yep. I get up. I get
really?
Dressed. I make coffee. I have a collared shirt on and a nice slacks, and it's actually 100% getting up and I go to work. It just happens to be, instead of leaving the house and getting in my car, go to the office. Absolutely.
I love that work ethic.
If I don't treat it like work, I get lazy.
I love that work ethic.
My discipline decreases and I don't feel like doing it as much. I'm busy. Maybe I should sleep today. No. I get up and I go to work and I stop for coffee breaks and I stop for lunch and then I'm done when dinner's being served. Just like most people every other day. We all have a job.
I love it. You hear that, Ellen?
Yes, I do.
I tell Ellen to do the same thing and she says, just a minute, I have to write a love letter to Jonas and then I'll be right with you, Hammer. I say, Ellen, get to work.
But the lucky thing for me is I do work for myself. I am all
right.
The time. So, yeah, if I don't have a good day, I'm not feeling well, whatever, I can just take the – or I can – so I'm very fortunate that I can take a day off and go tour or go to dinner or do what I want. If I have guests come and visit, I can take 2 weeks off and just hang out with the guests. So, I mean, I do have that. But basically Monday to Friday, I just get up and go to work like everyone else.
You have to have that discipline. You really do. You have to have that discipline. You have to have that work ethic. You got to have that focus. And that's how you become successful. And Jonas, you're a product of it. I'll see you on Facebook, my friend. And you can ignore me like you usually do, Jonas.
Never.
Thank you for coming in and have a great day, Jonas. And we'll see you guys in about 13 minutes with Adrian. And
all right.
Find out what's going on with her. Thank you so much, Jonas. All right, guys. And
thank you,
Cole, for good questioning. And, Cole,
Brian, please do not stalk Jonas. He's
going to
be ignoring
me. Do not stalk Jonas. Leave him alone.
Yes.
He's going to be ignoring. I won't. I'm going to send him one script. I told him I'm sending him one script, man.
I will put out a restraining order for Jonas against you if you stalk him.
I'm saying,
yeah, we'll be watching that.
I don't want to get chopped. I don't want my legs chopped off in Louisiana. Relax, Ellen.
Okay.
And by the way, you did that voice a little too well. I don't know, man. Like, that was
don't
good.
Don't mess with Jonas when Ellen's around.
I'm not.
She's worse than the CIA and the Secret
Service, man. Listen, Brian, he's busy for a year. I need rent money this week, so he's not an option anyway, man. I'll be doing that 800-page traveling around the world shark movie next year.
It.
How about that? All right, cool.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for asking the question. Jonas Saul, everybody. Sarah Roberts is the series. Get it now. You won't be disappointed. He's one of the best. Thank you, and we'll see you guys in about 5 minutes. Thank you, Jonas. Bye-bye, everyone.
Well, Brian, can you play my rap song? Can you play the rap song? I sent you. It's in your email. 3 minutes.
I can't on this segment, Cole. Maybe next segment, okay?
Okay, no.